Okay. So let's start from the beginning of the Gemara on Daf Nun Dalet Amabez, the two dots. So the Mishnah was talking about what happens if a person wants to add on to the amount of the ksubas, right? It's mana masayim, right? Mana for a mana and a grusha, and masayim for a basula. So a person says, I want to add on, right? So if a person wants to, the Mishnah said, in ratzel hosif, afil mea mana, yosef, if he wants to add on, he can even add 100 mana onto the ksuba. So says the Gemara, ratzel lichtov da lo katani, el ratzel hosif. It doesn't say if he wants to write more in there, but if he wants to be mosif, okay? So that's misali Rabbi Avo Amar Rabbi Yanai. So this is a support for the opinion of Rabbi Avo in the name of Rabbi Yanai. The Amar Rabbi Avo Amar Rabbi Yanai Tanai Ksuba Kiksuba Dami. He holds that the Tanai Ksuba is considered like the Ksuba itself. Meaning, if I would have just said Ratzel Lichtov, you could have just said, oh, he wants to add, you know, if he wants to write into the Ksuba more money, you know, so fine, he can do that. But that would be like that would be seen as some extra amount. But Ratzel Hosif. The implication is that lahosif means to add on to what's already there, and it would be considered part of the group. So meaning that that means that the Tanai Ksuba, that which you add on to the Ksuba, is going to be considered like the actual Ksuba money itself. And as opposed to being, I have Ksuba money and then an extra amount of money, which is separate, which is like just a gift. This money is considered part of the Ksuba. So what? Well, the so what is that there are many examples, we're going to go through each of them, where this is going to have an afkamina, meaning. It's going to make a difference, that you consider the hosafa, the extra money, is not considered like bonus, but it's considered actually part of the ksuba itself. Okay, so what are the nafkaminas? So nafkamina, le mocheres. So a woman who sells her ksuba or is mochal on her ksuba, we've discussed that relatively recently. Look at Rashi, le mocheres il mocheles. It's a little further up in on the page. First word in line is le mocheres. Mocheres ksubasa o mocheles ksubasa, if she sells her ksuba or she's mochal the ksuba, machla o mocheres hakol, right? Lefisha kol kari ksuba, right? So the point being, first nafkamina is, if you sell your mochal the ksuba, well, what's the ksuba? Is it the whole amount, or is it just the main piece, which is the actual ksuba, but not the tosefis? The answer is, according to this approach, right, that we learn from the Mishnah, but the lahosif means that the Tanai Ksuba is like the Ksuba itself, then when she's mochel or she sells it, it's considered she sold the whole thing. Okay. Next. Lemoredes. Moredes is a woman who refuses to have tashmish with her husband. So if she refuses to have tashmish, so what happens? So you start to take away money from her Ksuba. Rashi says, Lemoredes, the Tanai Bepirkin, Hamoredes, Abayla, Pochzalam Miksuba. So a woman who's a Moredes, they start taking off from her Ksuba. Ad Masai, who Poches, Ad Kanei Ksuba. So how much you take away? You take away all the way up to the Ksuba. The point being that he can even get to the point where your entire ksuba is removed, and then he can divorce her without any ksuba at all. So lo tema keneged mana masayim dechudayu ela afa toseves pochsim halachin. Right. So the point is that even the amount that you have to get to have it, you know, that you could take away, is even, you know, includes the extra amount. Okay. Next case ulo pogemes. What does it mean pogemes? Because a pogam is like a you know, something you've taken away from it. You hurt it in a certain sense. So what does that mean? So Rashi says, the pogemis peperka kosev tana pogemis ksubasa lo tifra ela bishua. So she claims that she collected some of it, right? So if that's the claim, but now she wants to collect the rest of it, right? So she has to take a shua in order to collect the rest. So how much does he have to kishua for in order to claim the rest? The answer is the rest is the whole amount. Again, because the tosefes is considered like part of the ksuba itself. Okay, next case, ula tovas. Right, tovas we've talked about before, a woman who goes, Rashi says, la tovas, four or five lines in the bottom. Sha'amru chachamim, ha-tovas ksubas bebezden ein la mazonas. Right, the woman can decide. She can just keep getting mazonas from the isomim. But then she doesn't get a ksuba. As soon as she goes to the bezin and says that, like my ksuba, please. So at that point, they start taking, now she doesn't get mazonos anymore. So again, same question. How much does she have to claim in order to get, be considered claiming the ksuba? So the answer is, the claiming the ksuba would include the tosefis as well. Right? If she claims the tosefis, that's part of claiming the ksuba also. Okay. Ulo veris adas. Right? Overis adas says Rashi, literally means she violates the halacha. What do you mean? V'per kamadir asher amru aleha Teitzei shelo b'ksuba, right? A woman who decides, I'm not going to keep the halacha anymore, in certain halacha she refuses to keep. We're going to see more about that in Daf Ayin Beis. So if she does that, so she loses her ksuba. So it says Rashi, lo teima ksubas mana masayim, about the seves matana ba'amahu. Law of Sita. You might say, oh, so fine, she loses her ksuba, but the Tosafis, that's just extra. So that she should still keep. The answer is no. Again, if Tanai ksuba is ksuba, so then she, in that scenario also, she'll lose the entire amount of money. Antem Nun Ham and Aleph. The Shevach. What's the Shevach? So says Rashi, Sha'amru b'bechoros, Eina b'chor notel pishnayim b'shevach sheshavchu ha'nechasim la'achar misesavien. So let's say the father had a certain amount of, certain land, etc. And he dies. And then afterwards, it like goes up in value. So the Bechor doesn't get, so you want to know how much is right? The Bechor gets double everybody else, right? So he does, when you calculate the double, you don't calculate on the amount that the land increased in value since the father died. Right, you start from the point of when he died, and same thing when she collects the ksuba again from her husband's karka. Let's say she's getting from land. So same thing. You're not going to determine the amount, based on the shvach that goes up from after he died. So again, based on what? Not just based on the ksuba amount, but even based on the tosefes amount. Okay, l'shvua. So says Rashi, taking an oath, l'kol milei d'shayich l'shava ala ksuba. Anything. There could be multiple examples of things that she would be required to take a shvua for in order to collect the ksuba. Kigon, hanifras, shalom b'fanav, right? The situation where she's collecting the ksuba and he's not there. Ve'ed echad me'ida shehi perua. And there's one aid who said, what do you mean? You can't collect the ksuba. You already repaid the ksuba. Well, there's only eid echad. So the eid echad, what happens? The eid echad requires her to take a shvua, right? In that scenario. If she wants to really collect, well, we have one aid against you. It's not two aidim, right? Two aidim would say, it's paid. That would be enough. But if you have one aid, so never concerned. So we say, look, if you want to collect it, you have to take a shvua. So that's on how much, not just on the ikar amount of the ksuba, but the other parts of the matana. No, even on the tosefist also. Right. Also cases where, let's say, she wants to collect, but she wants to collect from not her husband's current property, but from property that he sold, right, after they were already married. Same thing, she'd have to take a shvua in such a case. So again, even for the tosefes, she's going to have to take a shvua. Rashi points out that pogemes is one of these examples, right? The case of pogemes is where she'd have to take a shvua also. So why? So I ask the question, why do you include both examples? But the bottom line is, we include both. Okay, next, ula shvius. Okay, so what is it? What does Shemitah have to do with the ksuba? It's actually very interesting. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Ula shviyas she'ein shviyas mishametes ksuba kishar staros." Right? Usually, what's the rule? The rule is that all loans are canceled at Shemitah. So, in theory, you could have said, "What is a ksuba? Ksuba is a loan. Right? Ksuba is where it's a certain amount of money that's a hischaivas. I say I owe a certain person this amount of money." So, you could argue that if any couple is married for 7 years, they're going to have the ksuba will become invalidated. The answer is you don't say that, right? Ksuba is excluded from shvius. Okay, that's true by the ksuba. What about the tosefist? All right, if the tosefist is just a matana, maybe that would be excluded. The answer is no, since it's not ksuba ksuba, so the tosefist is also tosefist nami lo mishame, says Rashi. Next case. Ula kosev konachasav lebanav. Right, what if the person writes all of his property to his children, says Rashi. So he gives all of his property to his children. This is before he passes away, right? And then he leaves also sums over for his wife, right? Some small amount. So what in that scenario of the ksubasa? So in that case, she loses her ksuba. Right? She doesn't just lose her ksuba in that case. She loses even the tosefes in that case. Lagabos mina karka umina ziboris. So we also she goes ahead and she collects from karka. Rashi points out that in ksuba nigbeis elamina karka umina ziboris. So the first of all, the ksuba is always collected from person's land, and number two, it's always collected from zebras. Zebras means the lowest, the the lowest quality of his, he doesn't have to give her the best quality or medium quality of his land. He can give her the worst, you know, the worst land. He can give her the parking lot. I mean, here the parking lot's the most expensive, maybe. Right? But the least expensive, least the lowest valued, lowest quality land has the same amount. It's worth the same amount of money, but it's the lowest quality land. So again, not just that would not just apply to the ksuba. It would apply also to the tosefes because the tosefes is considered like the ksuba itself. Okay. Continues the Gemara, v'chol zman she beis aviha, right? And for the entire time that she's in her father's house, right? Rashi says, Tanan ba'nosei, right? We're talking about later on in Daf Kuftal, v'chol zman she beis baila, b'meshach amanusa goba ksubasa le'olam, right? Meaning, we've talked about this already a little bit before also, right? As long as, if her husband dies, and she stays in her husband's house, right? And she stays living there. Right, so as long as she's staying there and she's an amana still, right? She isn't like getting married to somebody else, which we talked about also. Then that's a different story. But as long as she's stayed there and she's not marrying somebody else, so go book suba le'olam. She has, you know, and the suba has no expiration date. She can continue to collect at any time. V'chol zman shehi bebeis aviha shelo hayu ovdin osa hayisomim v'lo zanin osa. So she's, as long as she is in her father's house. And these some of them are not helping her, and they're not paying for her mizonos. So then, what happens? Go b'ksubasa ad chaf hei shanim. It becomes a 25-year, cap. And after 25 years, she can no longer collect. So v'im shaska, and if she doesn't say anything, yester al kain yom echad machlasa v'chein tosefes. Right? And if she doesn't say anything for 25 years, even if again she just has nothing, she doesn't say I'm mochel. But as long as she lives with her father in her father's house now for 25 years, and she doesn't say anything about it, so it's considered as if she is mochel. And again, not just mochel on the ksuba, but mochel also on the tosefes. Okay. Next case, the last case is uksubas b'din dichrin. This we've talked about already. And for the ksubas b'din dichrin, meaning, right, not just the ksuba part, but also the dowry that she brought into the marriage, and then her husband dies, so that amount is not, right, the ksubas b'din dichrin is not included. If she dies, the money doesn't just go to all of the yorshim of the father, but rather only the yorshim of the mother, only the people who were her children, right? So Rashi says, k'shem shenotling nidunyas avi imam umana masayim kach notlim tosefes, right? So they the point here is that they don't just get the ksuba b'din dichrin, they also get the value of her ksuba. So again, when they get that, they don't just get the mana masayim, but they also get, again, the tosefes. So that's all of the different nafkaminas. How many was that? 7, 8, 9, I don't know. 11, 12?
14.
14, okay. I wasn't keeping track clearly. 14 nafkaminas for what happens, what who cares that the tosefes is considered like the ksuba, or like the way the Gemara says it, that t'nai ksuba k'ksuba. Good. Okay, good. So now the Gemara is going to go through a couple of different other questions that were issues of, that were machlokas, and actually each time, almost every time, tells us instead of teku, tells us hechasa, what the halach is. So we'll see. So itmar, ksubas b'din dichrin. So the ksubas b'din dichrin, again, this value of the dowry which goes to her children, specifically her children. Pumbedisa amre lo tarfe mishabde, yarson tanan, b'nei masa machse amre tarfe mishabde, yisbon tanan. Okay, so there's a machlokas, what the Mishnah actually said when it comes to talking about the collection of the ksuba b'din dichrin. Is the language of the Mishnah, when it discusses this question, does it use the language of Yarsin, which is the language of Yerusha, right? Or is it the language of Yisbon, which is more just like a language of collecting? So that why does that matter? The reason it matters is because if it's a language of Yerusha is not typically collected from Mishubadim, right? Yerusha is whatever's left, that's what children get. If the father then, or the mother, whatever, had sold the land some other time, all the time the children are alive, you don't say, oh, well, my father had that land at some point, so now when he dies, I come and collect it from you. That's not fair, right? But rather, I shouldn't say it's not fair. It's not the halacha. So, but if it's a din of yisbon, that's the language, so then it means, oh, I mean, no, it's always really mine, and whenever he's going to pass away, I'm always going to get it, in which case, it's not like a Yerusha question per se, but it's something I'm allowed to, that's coming my way. So that's the machlokas. Do we say you could collect it from the nechasim b'shubadim, right? Or do we say you can't do that? V'hilchasa lo tarfim b'shabde yarsin tan. We paskin, that no, you do not collect it from the b'shubadim, and the language of the Mishnah, that's the correct reading, is that the language is Yarsun, that's Yerusha, and not Yespon. Rashi says Yespon would be Lashon Bachof, right? It's like either like you're collecting a debt. Okay. Next case. Mitatale v'isnehu be'inayu. So let's say he put aside not for not karka for the ksuba, but he put aside actual money. Look at Rashi. Rashi is mitatale v'isnehu be'inayu. It's sometimes movable property. Hamayache mitatale is the first Rashi in the wide lines. Hamayache mitatale l'ksubas ishto umes. And he sets aside money or a certain type of movable property for the ksuba for his wife, and then he dies. V'hein be'en, and they're there, right? They are, they're sitting. We know where they are. V'hi nifras mehen, right? And she can collect from there. So not l'san shelo b'shvua. She collects them without any shvua at all, right? Look back to Gemara for a second. V'taltelin v'isnu be'nahu b'lo shvua. Right? Everyone agrees that if he says you're going to take this, you know, I don't know, big screen TV and this car and this whatever, and that's all set aside for the ksuba, and it's there. She collects it without a shvu at all. She has a document that says that's her ksuba. Fine. Leis nehu be'inayu. But what if he set aside these items and then she comes to collect them and they're not there? Right? So Pumbedisa amre below shvua. So Pumbedisa says she can collect other metaltalin. Obviously, this metaltalin's not there. So she collects other metaltalin without a shvua. She just comes and says, look, this is why I'm owed X amount of money. Please give it to me. B'nimasa machsa amre b'shvua. So B'nei Machas HaMachas say, not so fast. Why did he say you have to take a Shavua? Because there's a concern, where to go? Where's the big screen TV and the car and whatever? She took it. Right? And now she's coming back to collect, and we have no way of knowing. When it's Matalta, when it's Karka, it's easy. The Karka's sitting there. But here, the item's missing now. So I don't know. Maybe you took it. Maybe it's gone already. Right? So therefore, you make her take a Shavua, and B'Hilchasa, we pass on the way. Sorry. So some say, the Master Machas say, no, you should take a shvua. V'hilchasa below shvua. We say, no, you're not worried that maybe she took it and, you know, it's gone. You know, rather she is allowed to collect from something else. Okay. Next case, yichad la'ara. So let's say he specifies specific karka for her, ba'arba mitzrenha, based on the four boundaries of the land. So he makes clear, basically, what the boundaries are of the land that he's going to that's designated as her ksuba. So if she wants to collect it below shvua, she doesn't have to take a shvua because he's already really very clearly delineated it. No machlok is there. However, bechad mitzra, but what if he just gave one boundary to the land? So what happens in that case? Yeah. Bechad mitzra, pumbedisa amre below shvua, b'nematze machse amre b'shvua. Right, so there's a machlokas then. Do I need a shvua or not? Look at Rashi. Rashi says b'shvua the kevan the lo kasav la arba hametzarim. He didn't delineate the four boundaries. Ain zu smicha l'smocha leh. Right, you can't rely on that. Varehi kimi shelo yiched v'ikal mechash l'tzarei. So at that point we're nervous. That maybe she's collecting something else or making some type of. Something dishonest is going on here because he didn't give it this all. You know, the specific boundaries here. So, and we're worried for people on the other people on the other boundaries, etc. So we're not so quick to give it to her without a shua, and therefore, and that's the machlokas. But the halacha is v'helchasa below shua. But the halacha is we paskin she does not need a shua in that case. I think this is probably related also to the fact that in general when we're giving property over, so we're concerned always about the neighboring property, right? We have a halacha, if there's a person wants to sell their land and there's a neighboring property, so the person who's a neighboring property gets like, you know, first dibs in a certain sense because people always want to expand their current property rather than having two in two different places, things like that. Okay. Next. Amar la'edim kisvu v'chasmu v'havule. So kanamine. Person says to edim, write some type of shtar and sign it and give it to some person. So kanimine, if they make a kinyan, they make a kinyan sudar, right? Like they're selling the chametz, right? They do a kinyan sudar. So then lo tzarech im luchebe. They don't have to go back and ask the guy, by the way, did you really mean it? They made a deal. They made it. He told them what to do and he made a kinyan. There's no shiloh. That's what he said. That's what he wanted to do. You have to go back and say, by the way, like we're about to go today to deliver the shtar like you said. You know, text them just to check. You don't have to check in. You already made the deal. He gave you very clear instructions and he made a kinyan. But lo kanamine, but what happens? He says, look, kisvu v'chasmu v'havalei. go write, you know, write the shtar, sign it, and deliver it. But he didn't make a kinyan. So what happens there? This is also you don't have to. Again, you made a shtar. He told you what to do. You know what to do. They say, no, you know what? The truth is he didn't make a kinyan. Why didn't he make a kinyan? Because he's maybe like a little nervous still. He wasn't so positive. And therefore, you have to go ahead and ask him again before you go. You have to go ask him. Fine. Okay. So the next case that our Mishnah talked about was Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah had said, right, when we talked about if he added a hosafa and then he dies, right? So we said if he dies from an erusin or from a nisuin, the Tanakhama says she gets all of it. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says no, she only if he dies from after nisuin does she also get the tosefes, because every person has in mind to get the tosefes if there's actual nisuin. Without nisuin, not, you know, we can't assume that he wanted to give the tosefes also. So it says the Gemara, Itmar Rav v'Rebbi Nasan. So Rav and Rebbi Nasan, Chad Amar Halachik Rav Elazar ben Azariah. One says Halachik Rav Elazar ben Azariah that you wait only if he dies after nisuin does she get the tosefes. V'Chad Amar Ein Halachik Rav Elazar ben Azariah. Another one says no. The halacha is not like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Okay. So to stayim, the Rabbi Nasan who, the Amar, halacha Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So he says, but the Gemara says, if it's Rav and Rabbi Nasan, we don't know which one held like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, which one didn't. I'll tell you, I can tell you, I think it's Rabbi Nasan is the one who holds like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. How do I know? The Shamina le Rabbi Nasan, the Azil Basar Umdana. Because what does Rabbi Nasan typically hold? He typically holds that we go Basar Umdana. What's Umdana? So Rashi says Basar Umdana, like seven lines in the bottom, right in the middle of the page, in the middle of the Rashi, is Basar Umdana Omed Hadas. Right? Umdana means we go based on what you can assume people had in mind. Right? V'davar she'enim mafurash omdim bezdin v'omrim stam inish l'hachi yechavim. Sometimes you don't know what a person has in mind. Bezdin said, look, most people, this is what they have in mind. Right? The lo kosev la mamono chinam el lachibas bia. And in this case, a person doesn't just give a woman money. He gives her money because he wants to marry her. And he wants to be married. Until they have Yisuin, they're not really married. So, not fully. So, the stam das of a person is, he intends to write a ksuba. Why? For a Yisuin, not just to have Erisin. He wants to have both. And so, until that happens, that would be the umdana. So, point being, since Rabbi Nasan holds, he's azal basar umdana, it makes sense to say that he likes Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. That's what most people would want. The Abba Rabbi Nasan, because Rabbi Nasan holds, halacha Rabbi Shimon shizuri b'misukan ubechumas meiser shal demai. Because Rabbi Nasan holds, like Rabbi it says, halacha like Rabbi Shimon shizuri when it comes to the case of misukan and chumas meiser. So what are you talking about? What are those two cases that we're talking about? Look at Rashi misukan. Rashi says meseches gittin daf samachem bebeis hamafarish fayotzi bishara. Someone's going on a trip. He's about to leave to go far away. And as we know, whenever someone go far away, it's always, you know, some understanding it could be very dangerous and they may not come back. The Omer, and he says, Kiss will get the ishti. And he says to the guy, to aid him, he says, write a get for my wife. But he didn't say, tenu. He didn't say, give it to her. Right? So he said, Kiss will get the ishti. Afa pi shalom ratzu. Even he didn't say, give it to her. Hare eilu yichtavu v'yitnu. You would write it and give it to her. Why? The machamas tirdaso shu bohu al nafsho as lohispik ligmor devarav, because he's like so busy getting out of that, he's leaving and leaving on the trip and he's packing up, etc. He was so caught up he forgot to say the word tomb. Of course, why else did he say write a get? To hold on to it? No, to give it to her. Right? Umikara lichtav lekisvu tenun niskavin. That's what he had in mind. He meant to say kisvu tenun. Rishim and Shizuri Omer af masukan hagoses. And even a person whose life is in danger, they're about to die. But you know, same thing. The person's mom is about to die, and he says, "Kiss we get the ishti." What does he mean? Doesn't write it? Of course not. He means also tenu. He just didn't say it. Vahainu basar umdandata. Right? That means following the umdana. Right? What we assume somebody had in mind. Damrinan lo amar kissu elash yitnu. You only said to write it in order to give it. Holy masukanhu lo niskaven litzachikba. He's not making a joke. Right, he's about to die. It's not time for making wisecracks. So presumably, if he said it, that's what he meant. So that's one example where Rabbi Nasan holds, right, like Rishim Shizuri, that b'misukan we hold, right, you go basar umdandas. We're going to have to talk about the case of Trumas Meser Shel Demai. That's going to take a couple of minutes. So why don't we stop here, and we'll pick off the rest of it tomorrow.